So, welcome everybody to our podcast, Wisdom and Joy. Very, very happy to be here. I'm Gadi Benjamin, and we're going to record this is our first chapter. With me here is Yafit Nahari. Say hello, Yafit.
Hello, hello. Happy to
That's good. We're happy too. I'm sure all the fans as well. So
be
our millions of fans around the world are just here and So hope you're gonna have like a nice time and enjoy, take some value from our podcast, and obviously you're gonna be part in our podcast. All our listeners would be integral part of this nice project that it's now kicking off. So I was thinking if it maybe I should introduce myself. What would you say?
That's a good idea.
Okay, so I'm just gonna and if you want to have like a question or something like that, you know, don't mind interrupting. So let's say a few words. I would say I will start with just reality today. So I'm 47 and I'm married to Nora and father for of Yarden and Aviv, and we live in Oxford, UK. To Oxford around 5 years ago, in order for like for Nora to fulfill her dream and fulfill her destiny to work in the to do research on childbirth and stuff. So she just finished her PhD, her post, and she's doing some other new projects, hopefully in the department. And so this is what like about right now. I'm a life coach. I'm doing that for the last 15 years, and I was doing that in Israel and doing that now from the UK for the last past 5 years, and that's about it. And I thought I might share some personal information just for, you know, to get people to the notion of who they're speaking to or listening to. So I was born and raised in Tel Aviv, around Tel Aviv in Israel. I know that I sound British and from Oxford, but not. My accent is very British, but not. I was born in Israel, and I am the fifth. I'm the youngest kid, around five brothers and sisters. So I have three sisters and one brother, and I would say that the house I grew up in was a bit crowded, I would say, physically and emotionally. So it wasn't easy to be there while growing up, not in terms of violence or horrible stuff, but it was like hard experience to grow up in. Like you have to fight for your place, and all the time there was a lot of quarrels and fightings around clothes and who took my pants and things like that. But it was always a lot of noise. So one of the things I made there, it was like one of the decisions that I made. I said to myself, I don't want to be part of that. I don't want to be part of all that noise, all these fightings. And I will be the quiet and nice one, the lovable one. And everything gonna be perfect. And that really held, like it really held for about 30 years. Then my children were born, and I couldn't continue that anymore. So you can't really hold your being because all the fightings of the girls like brings up a lot of you know, frustration within you, and it's really, really was an experience to see that as a parent. I also have this misophonia, if you know what it is. Do you know that, your feet? Like a really sensitive, like you're really, really sensitive, voice sensitive?
Sensitive to sounds. And
Yeah. Have you heard about that?
I think I've heard, yeah, I think I've heard of it. I think I've heard of it from yourself, actually.
Oh, one of the days I was complaining.
Oh, yeah. Could be.
So I would be happy to share and complain again. But just to say how hard it is for me to be as a kid, to grow up as a kid with that sensitivity to sounds, you know, and as a parent. So sometimes life could be a really, really hard experience for you. So that was one element. Second element, I was growing with a mother that if she were to live today, she would probably be diagnosed with depression. You know, so like, and she was really, really in her sadness. She wasn't like not a happy person at all or something like that. But most of the time it was like, this is our, you know, the air that you breathe as a kid. So, and that depression really touched me. So obviously it has a lot of effects on you as a person, you know, because if your mom not happy, you don't see the whole picture as a kid. You just see and you think that she's not happy from you. So then you might start to evolve yourself like as a person that say, okay, she's not happy for me, or maybe I'm not enough for her. And then, you know, like along the years, you might start at first. So I would say that the way I handle it on retrospective, obviously, seeing that I was really, I had this skill of being funny. So I was trying to make everyone happy with my being funny skills and a bit of a clown. And, you know, so it didn't really work. I don't know what it says about my skills, but it might be saying a bit about her depression as well. So, you know, and I think it's really, really, so along the years, I just discovered how deep that went through. But I didn't know that, you know, using being funny in a way, like for me, I still use that being funny in order to get to people, you know, to cross the border and be close to them. So that's another thing I would say. And also being funny was one of my weapons as a kid, because I was the shortest kid in the class. And so might be even the school, I don't know, but I was really, really short. And I was like, growing up, it was like 2 years later. So, you know, like always 2 years gap. So I was like, this was like one of my weapons to be accepted and to be lovable and stuff. And also I was like, other thing to overcome this being a short kid, I was a basketball player, you know? So I really, really loved basketball, and I truly resisted the forces of nature to say that I'm too short for basketball, because I really, really love that. And I started to have that notion that if I'm going to be a good basketball player, while I'm a basketball player, I'm not short, you know, because basketball are for grown-ups or for like tall kids, and then I'm not underneath them. So that's another thing to share about. And then eventually I grew up around, I would say, 17. And then by the age of 18, I joined the army. And then afterwards, we're going to give some space for that story, because it's going to serve us and our podcast. And then I was around 21. I was just... So just finishing the service. And then it was like, I just finished the service and broke up with my then to be seen and thought as first love. You know, I was really, really in love with her, and it's literally broke my heart. So I was about, I think, grieving around 1 year at least, but it was like such a shocking experience for me. It's like my soul torn apart, and I could sit with friends and having like a nice conversation, but I was always thinking I'm like 2 meters above, seeing everything from above, you know. And the reason I'm sharing that, you know, maybe a lot of people could have that experience, but I would say that since then there was a journey for me to go back and to feel some emotions, like not some emotions, like all the emotions. I started to have disconnected to my emotions, the ability to feel. So it was like a death and rebirth in some way. It was like was like that. And also another thing that happened there is like the things I knew, the things I counted on. So I was sure that I'm going to be an architect since I was 16. You know, I was sure that I'm going to be an architect, and this is going to be like for the last 5 years. I would go in Jaffa, you know, like lovely, lovely places, and I would be astonished and amazed by this wonderful buildings from the Ottoman Empire, or I would go and I would, you know, I would hug big, you know, like some places that like I was so amazed of, some buildings, you know, like I love the stone, I love this I see being an architect as being an artist in a larger scale, you know. So I was sure that I'm going to be an architect, but then when the breakup happened, I really, really felt that it's like I don't know what I want to do in my life at all. I just felt lost, you know. So then it was like a journey that started then. And I would say from that point, being 21, around 21, 22, till 32, then I started to be a life coach. And as I see that, found my purpose to support others and to join others with their life journey. It took me 10 years to do that journey. So in that journey, like I would say, if it was like 10 years, are you there? Like, have you fainted or something?
Yeah. I'm alive. I'm here.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So do you want to skip to another podcast or something like that? Just
No. I'm here it. Listening.
So I would say the first 7 years of these 10 years of finding my destiny was around the usual things, you know. You go to school, you do a degree, and then start and looking for some work and stuff, like experiencing life. And then I found myself in an advertisement company, and then I then understood that it's not my destiny. It's not like fulfilling me. It's not that satisfying. It wouldn't change if I would be in another rank, you know, like a higher rank in the company and stuff. So then I decided I'm now just going to stop my work, and I'm going to find my destiny, and I'm going to really, really find that, and I'm not going to stop till I find that. So then it was 2002. It took me 3 years. A week after I left my job, I just met Nora. And then I understood, okay, that's a good sign for me to do what I've done. And then I just started finding my destiny. I didn't know where to start, but I thought to myself, let's do that with the things that you love, you know. So then there were those like cinema. I really liked doing like a production of movies and, you know, directing and writing a bit. So I thought to myself, I'm just going to start with that and see how it goes. And when I understand something, I'm just going to move, you know, like using the elimination system. So I just registered for the second degree in Tel Aviv University, start learning there. And then after you move to a school that teaches you how to write drama. And then after 1 year, I left there because I saw that I don't like drama. I just love writing, but more of the funny stuff. And then I was experiencing writing some nice stuff like sketches for TV and, you know, like magazines for youth, like with a lot of jokes. So it's really, really fun and funny. We still have those, and my little girls are now can have those jokes and see them. So it's really, really nice. And then along that, really, really the last year of that journey, I wasn't sure that I'm going to be a writer. I felt like it was nice, but I was honest with myself, try to be honest with myself. And then I asked myself, is it like, I can't say that it's really, really my purpose in life. And then with Nora's advice, she said to me, you know what, just give yourself, let's say, a year to be, or like a long period that you give yourself all, whatever you can, just to being a writer. And then at the end, if you think that you're not going to be, so then you know that you have been experienced, like really, how is it to be a writer? So then I adopted that. And the next day I went to my coffee shop near my house, and then 9 o'clock in the morning. And then I told to myself, okay, let's take 10 months and let's just write, you know, this is like being of a writer.
And I started to write.
Yeah. Just
like literally
writing,
just writing
whatever. Yeah. And then wow. I started with, I don't know what to write. Why have I accepted that challenge, you know? But I can't do anything. I have to write. I have to continue. And that's it. That was like a journey of almost a year, like 10 months. Then wow. Every day I was writing from 9 o'clock in the morning till 6 o'clock in the evening. Something like that. My nutrition was soya latte and cigarettes.
So were you writing a book, or were you actually...
No, I was just writing. I didn't have any choice. Yeah, just to experience how is it to be a writer, you know? And then it was really, really, you know, like without knowing, I was doing probably like whatever Julia Cameron in her book, you know, The Artist's Way, is inviting people just to write an hour. But I was doing that intensively and 10 times more. Because I was writing everything, you know. So I was writing some sketches for TV, but usually it will take me an hour and that's it. But then I have all day long to write. And I will write my history, my things that I was like angry about them, like anger letters. I was writing all my fears. I was started to speak with my fears while I was writing. So that was really, really a journey. And then at the end, without knowing, I found myself, like after 10 months, like I was looking at my writing for the last past month, and I saw that I started to gather a lot of situations that I help myself and other people with, like, you know, how to be more joyful in their life, or if they have some tense situations, you know. And then it just came up. I didn't like intended to do anything with that. I don't know why it came up. And then I looked at that and I said, yes, this is what I want to do. I want to help people solve problems in their life. You know, this is what I want to help them to be joyful in their life, not only for like a comic relief, not as a joke. I want them to really be happy, you know?
So you found that people were coming to you like, did you find people were coming to you for advice or for their problems?
Then,
yeah.
No. How it did was you like realize? It just came up. It just came up for me as in things that I wrote, came up as what I was like doing intuitive writing, you know.
Okay.
Just
okay.
gathered a lot of situation along my life, you know. And then, like, years later, I've discovered that this period in my life, not only sending me, so after discovering that, there was a, like a quiet moment. I was just saw myself standing on a stage and speaking to people, and they're laughing, but also something else happening to them. This is what I saw. When I saw that, it's like everything became quiet. I was just, everything was like, it was quiet, you know, like nothing happened. I just understood this is it. And no more inner talks within my mind of what should I do and where should I be. It just was
wow,
so obvious. Yeah, yeah. It was wonderful. And then, you know, when I, so that journey was like actively chosen by me, you know, because when I was not satisfied, 2002 till 2005, I just decided that I'm going to find my destiny. But it's but it started back then when I was like 10 years before, when I just didn't know what I'm going to do in my life. So it was a journey, you know. Obviously you don't know what life is taking you to, you know, like what's the plan. But this is part of our podcast, you know, to see and to, you know, to maybe to read a bit the language of life, maybe to listen to the signs, if you can, maybe listen to coincidence, as we call it, being synchronized, things like that. So that's really, really one thing. And just to finish that story, so wrapping that up, a month later, I started to learn coaching in my, I would say, spiritual home. It's called Emotion. Mm-hmm. And it's a school of coaching that has, that developed by Natalie Ben-David. And she developed this wonderful method that I'm still working with it today, also adding some other stuff, but her method called Satya Method. And it's really, really a profound way to transformation. So I've been doing that for the last 15 years, since back then, since 2005. And obviously, you know, it's like, it's really, really 15 years, you know, because it was back then, May, you know, so it's around that really was the time. Yeah, yeah. So that's about it. And, you know, another thing which is interesting that I just discovered years later while learning, you know, getting to know a bit more about myself through learning life, I got to know that, or to understand, I would say, that my... there was a question in that 10 months I was writing. And that question that really bothers me, I just understood that later. The question is, how can I be so funny, but not so happy? You know? And that really, really goes back to my mother. So I was then trying to make her laugh, you know, but she was like, but it never worked. It never made her happy. Maybe made people funny, you know, and choosing that, getting to your own destiny, purpose, to discover something, was with understanding, without like not knowingly, was like transform your way, you know, shift your way, stop trying to be funny, start to be happy. You know, it's really, really a shift in your strategy, you know. And after year, after a few years, I just got to know that this is what actually was happening underneath the surface. My own, you know, emotional, I would say, inner world quest and wish to be happy, not just to be funny. And this is why it wasn't fulfilling. It wasn't just about your doing what you're doing in life. It was about, like, are you healing yourself? Are you, you understand?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Yeah, definitely.
Mm. So that's about me.
So thank you for that. It was really nice to hear everything that you sort of went through, your journey to get to where you are today. You know, as a life coach and helping people with the Satya method and with the other methods. And particularly, I thought it was really nice to hear you talk about finding your happiness, your own happiness, as opposed to making other people happy, which I don't think that we usually know. We're not aware of this process. Mm-hmm. So I think it'll be very helpful to learn about that, like how you went through that.
Thank you for that. I sure wasn't aware of that then, but moreover, it wasn't like about making people happy. It was making people laugh, you know? Mm-hmm. And then it's like, it's different than that. Mm-hmm. Then, so thank you. So, let us move on. So after sharing that story, and just seeing yourself that you haven't been like, haven't fallen asleep. I know it's so good. So let us just speak about our podcast a bit. We can always speak about me, but it's not.
Maybe we should tell people.
But it's
why
not. Yeah, maybe we should be interested in others. Yes. So we're probably not going to speak about me anymore. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that was just the introduction and that's it. But I would say let's, you know, it's a good way to continue. So the podcast is like the Wisdom and Snore podcast. No, I'm just kidding. Wisdom and Joy.
You so came up with that now, did you?
Yes. Just hearing the, you know. So Wisdom and Joy, let us just be clear about that. I do believe that there is a wisdom and joy which is really available for all of us, for each of one of us. I can't, you know, like if you listen to the podcast and you don't get any wisdom and joy, Sapir would be happy to refund you. But actually is really the wisdom and joy that is available. And you could say that it's within us. But then it's not something that, you know, it is an opportunity. So our podcast is about opportunities. It's about exploring, as I see that, as exploring like the inner layers, the underneath layers, you know. A lot of, I would say, a lot of things that I love around exploring life or even being a life coach and work with people that, you know, join me into a process of maybe they can come and, you know, in order to solve some relationship, you know, maybe they can say that, you know, solve problems. Obviously, I don't look at life as solving problems. This is how I saw it back then, but just a way of speech, but a figure of speech. But, you know, if you look at your life and you have some problem in life, it would be better if you go into a deeper level of what's really going on. you know, what's really underneath the surface. If someone is not speaking with me, or we have really, like if one of my parents, I have this conversation which be shallow or short or something like that, what's really happening underneath the surface, which energy or emotion, doesn't matter how you call it, like really underneath there. And then if we explore that, we can start to work with that. Usually when you work with, so maybe there's a disappointment that haven't been spoken within us. And if you work with that disappointment, you might be able to open another opportunity. So in that way, I would say using the words language of life in the expression of, you know, the words that I meant to use to depict our podcast issues or subjects we're going to speak about is the language of life, what's happening underneath. Sometimes it could be a way to really understand life as we just shared interaction with others. Sometimes this language could be, you know, something that's happening without me understanding what's really happening in my life. And it will be really, really interesting to explore what's really happening, you know. So if someone comes to your place, you know, and you want to, and you don't really understand, it would be really interesting to ask, why did he came? Why did he come to my house? Just, you know, why did he call? What's like, what's that saying? Doesn't say that you're going to have your answers, but just communicating, starting to create relationship with there's like underneath currents that happens in our life, which makes our life much more interesting and rich. Mm-hmm. So this is what's like one of the parts. So the wisdom and joy, the reason I'm sharing that is to consider that there is wisdom and joy underneath the surface. It is there. And the surface, as we look at our experience, is our personality. So underneath the surface, as our experience is to be the wisdom and joy, where is it? Like, where is it? Where can I have it? Where can I buy it? Where can I get it? It's just saying that underneath, it's underneath the apparent layers. So the apparent layers would be our personality and voices and inner talk within our mind, our emotions that we're experiencing. Underneath, way to speak, doesn't really underneath, but before that, our essential being is wise and joyful. And this essential being, this initial being, is available to all of us. And if we'll like learn how to first to be aware of whatever, like to be aware of our own experience, what's like our own experience, what we're experiencing, what are the inner voices, our own emotions, our own functioning within us, all of that, when we got to be aware of that, we start to have this access to that wisdom and joy in our life. Okay, so I just, the one with the curly hair, yeah, would you like to ask a question?
Okay. Yeah, as you can see, I had a budding question. So I was just wondering, like, will we be learning how to become aware of all the things that are going on internally?
Hopefully, yes. I would be happy to share and give some access to some functioning within us, and to, you know, how to spot them and how to observe whatever happening. So hopefully,
You said something about like having outcomes, and you know, when sort of searching for our destiny, how can we sort of do these things that you say, like become more aware and stuff, if we don't have a sort of a plan in place or
focus on? Didn't understand the question.
I think before you said, you mentioned about looking at life as like focusing on a plan or focusing on outcomes.
Yep.
Do you remember when you said that before?
What do you mean, like focusing on, like when we want to observe our life and we think that we're not satisfied with our work, and then this is our journey, like to look for another work, but it's actually not really that.
Yes, that's what I mean. Yes, focusing on like the next goal. Yeah. But if we want to, so my question is if we're not focusing on some sort of goal, then how can we kind of better ourselves or become more aware? Because surely we need a goal, if that makes sense.
I don't really understand the question, but I will try to answer, which is a really bad idea. But let us do that. But, you know.
Already I've confused the situation.
Yeah, the refunds are on the way. I would say that, you know, like whoever wants to do any change in his life or really adding some new point of view, this is the only thing for a start he can do. Like you can also, and this is like, hopefully it's a really good question, because actually you can't really stop doing stuff in your life. You have to. You can't just stop. You can't just be stop angry. You can't do that. It's like it's an inner functioning. It becomes your way how to address the world. So if you, as a person, you have goals, you can't stop that. You know, like we are conditioned to work like that, and not to say that it's like a, you know, a bad idea, or it's not a good thing to have goals or something like that. Even though if it's good or not, you can't stop it. You can just for a start, you can just add some new stuff, you know, into your life. So you can just be interested in a different point of view or in another layer, you know. So that's like making the regular stuff that I'm doing or the usual stuff I'm doing in whatever subject you would like to look at. Mm-hmm. You just add another layer, which is like a more, you know, micro layer in the same thing. So if you want to say, okay, I want to. So hopefully that answers. Does it give you any answer about like what you've just asked?
I think so.
Yeah, probably. I wasn't sure about what you're asking, but I thought that it's like an interesting point of view. If someone wants to say, okay, I have goals, I want to change my life, what you're saying, it's a good idea, I shouldn't focus on goals. It doesn't work like that. This is how we think, this is how we used to think, and like nothing is bad about that. If you start to, you know, start to add or you know, adopt a new way of looking into your life, you just add it up to the way you look, and then maybe the goal would be a bit less important, you know.
Right
Yeah. So then let's say you were saying, okay, I have a lousy job and I hate my boss and I just have to replace it, you know. And if you are a bit more aware, you would be maybe understanding that this boss that you're seeing bringing up some stuff, inner stuff that you have, and those stuff are like are not, you haven't solved them yet.
Right. Okay. Yet.
So probably in the next job, you will meet that again, or you will meet that with your partners or brothers or sisters or something like that. And it's not going to go away if you're going to replace the work. It's just going to be there, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So then when you replace the work, you say, okay, you know what? I'm just going to replace the work, but I'm going to do that for having a better salary, you know? But I'm not going to think that my work is going to change my emotional life, you know? It mm-hmm. could be nicer. It could be, not to say that you should ignore, you know, like whatever hard for you, just to understand that it's not going to change it. I might be in another work that won't bring it up, but it wouldn't change that challenge. So the challenge that I'm facing right now, maybe I'll go to another work. I won't find that challenge. Maybe I'll find another challenge. But this challenge in the first job hasn't disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Probably I'm going to find it in another place in my life.
Yeah.
But then you know that changing your job is not going to solve that, just going to distract you from that. You know?
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. I like the example. The example is good, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So that's about wisdom and joy. It is there. If you don't get it, you don't get it, ask for a refund. And then, yeah. And then, you know, another thing is just to explore our personality. So our personality is actually have evolved, and that's really, really what obviously is responsible for our suffering in our life. And there are ways that you can literally work with your personality. So I'm going to share some ways that you can really work with that. Like inner parts within you that you might think they are working and they're really bothering you and they're really hurtful for you. But they're actually, it's not the case. So let's give an example, like a self-criticism. So sometimes people might think self-criticism is horrible because I can't enjoy and whatever, you know? But if you were able to observe your self-criticism, to learn it a bit, and to understand its purpose, that would be really life-changing for you and others. So
you were saying the negative thoughts that we have.
The negative thoughts or whatever negative within us that we can like label as negative. It could be doubting myself, you know, like self-criticism. It could be negative thinking. Whatever comes up in our personality, my assumption, my initial assumption that I'm going to share here and, you know, offer to others is to say that they are all here, part of us, and the initial intention is to support us and to better ourselves and to benefit us. And sorry for that. So if we were to understand and adopt this point of view, and then look at ourselves, we can literally ease our suffering and to free ourselves from those mechanisms, inner mechanisms. So that's really, really another thing that I would be happy to share with the listeners and to be able to support them in their life. Yeah. So I would give you an example, maybe if there's like, or maybe we can, I just saw you yawning. So.
I was trying to hide it, but I thought, you know what, I probably should see.
So I would give you like just not an example, but just I want to, you know, to establish a bit the point of view. So if you look at ourselves, let's look at ourselves as a system, as a whole system. So we have a body, okay, and then we have another dimensions or layers, you can say that, which would be like a mental layer or dimension or emotional level, layer. So it doesn't matter how you call that layer or dimension. We can call it like dimensions.
Dimensions, okay? A good one, yeah.
Okay, that's good. So now we have to tell all the people that doesn't love dimensions and prefer layers that they're not separated. Yeah. So if you look at ourselves, so we know that there are other dimensions that we don't see, like the mental or emotional one, you know. Maybe there are other dimensions. Maybe you have like a karma dimensions. We don't know, but we do have a few, okay? That's really important to keep it simple. And also we have the physical dimension, okay? So if we look at our physical dimensions and its own functioning, it is constantly rejuvenating himself and, you know, in a wonder, in a way that brings a lot of wonder. Like, how does the body, and you're a doctor yourself, you know that.
Yes, we know, yes.
So it is really miraculous, isn't it? To see all these mechanisms, the biological mechanism. So this is like our physical layer, and it is intelligent. We want to say that it is intelligence. So there's a wisdom with it. Like, you know, when Nora, my wife, was doing her second degree, she was doing that in genetics, and she was exploring a horrible disease called AT, which explore it's called AT, and that's like the body doesn't help itself, doesn't support itself.
Okay.
So usually there are like functions within us. So there's amino acids, you know, like that supports, like, doesn't really matter. I don't really understand that.
In
English, it's very hard for me to express that. But just to say that the body is really, really know how to recover itself, how to rejuvenate itself, you know, and it brings like a lot of sense of wonder. We don't understand that, but this is happening. Okay. But the physical layer is one of our layers, one of our dimensions. So what reason do we have to think that our other layers doesn't work like that? We don't have any reason to believe that doesn't work like that, that they aren't intelligent. You know?
That's very interesting, yeah.
So I will bring it over here and to say that, you know, like those inner mechanism within us, inner functioning, like self-criticism, maybe that functioning is intelligent. Maybe he can listen to us. And also maybe his initial intent is to benefit us. So if he has this initial intent to benefit us and to better ourselves, and he is intelligent, so we can speak with him, obviously we can change that because he's really here to help. But maybe we have to explain it. You know what? You're like off course, you know? It's too much. It doesn't really support me. Like a person that has negative thinking and maybe, you know, like all the time trying to make himself ready. This negative thinking. Just negative thinking is like a process within us, functioning within us, that always trying to bring us the worst case scenario, so we won't be surprised by something bad happening to us. So we always alert, but it doesn't functions. It doesn't work nice to be in a body that's all the time alert. So if we have that functioning of negative thinking, and he is intelligent, and he wants to make us like a good way of living, and we explain to him, you know what, it doesn't serve us, then we might have a real opportunity to change its functioning and to maybe to keep his purpose, but in a different strategy. So all these nice ideas, just to say, were being experienced by myself for the last 5 years. And I've been working and added that into my practice and was learning that on and on and on, and was learning like how to work with those inner mechanisms. And this is like became one of my projects, again, without knowing, but I was like all the time, I'm committed to learning how to ease the suffering in the quickest way we can, in the best way we can, in different languages, like people, like most of the people would understand this. I would say this is part of my mission. So that's another part that might be help and be interesting to others.
Can I ask another question?
Yes, of course. You don't have to ask me about that. Yeah.
So if I feel, I mean, that all sounded great, you know, if I change the way I look at it, then...
No. It doesn't say like changing the way you look at it. It's just looking at something, understanding what's happening underneath the surface, and then communicate with your own functioning. You don't change the way you look at it. You just, it's like another person. It's like a kid. It's like something which is, again, intelligence within us. And we can actually literally communicate with that.
But even like, so when we're communicating with it, what happens to the, so I can still feel bad. So let's say the self-criticism comes along and then I communicate with it. Won't I still be left with like feeling like, you know, crappy or not feeling good, not feeling, you know, the emotional aspect of it? Or are we talking about the emotional aspect as well when we're communicating to the self-criticism?
The emotional aspect, if we only speak about, so let's speak about the emotional level, even though we might need, you know, this is what the podcast is about, so we might need a bit more. But just to give, like, let's look at it as two options that are possible here. So, well, one option is to say that the emotions that we feel are as regarding, like, as a result from the mechanism. So, like, let's say negative thinking. So our experience would always be affected by our thinking. Okay, so if we change the way we look at things, your emotion will change quickly.
Okay. So the emotion is a side effect.
Yes, and if that the emotions haven't been changed, so you would say you ease your suffering. And now you can like look at whatever emotions comes up, you know, if there's a sadness or despair, whatever, but then you can work with that. So always there's a, like, if there's another layer, so now you are able to work with that. Before, when you had negative thinking, you wasn't able to work with that, you know, because you were distracted by the negative thinking. So you couldn't work with that. You were always like, now there was like a buzz in your head. Oh, I always do that, and it's that, it's going to be happen like that. And you were like distracted. Something else took your, you know?
Yeah. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, so just hopefully that gives a, and not to say that this one is good and this one is better and this one, you know, like, it doesn't say that, but like, again, it's like starting to look and to be aware of our inner world in all its, you know, whatever accessible for us, you know, whatever dimension accessible for us. Okay, so we've come to the end of our chapter today, our first chapter. How you've been surviving?
Oh no!
Are you just fooling around, or you're just
really, I'm being serious. I think there's a lot of questions. Lots of questions.
Oh yeah, that's good. So you're gonna do the question next time, and a lot of great stuff is with us. So I do believe that, you know, after sharing that, a bit of my point of view and a bit of the point of view, you know, like I was exploring and really would be happy to share. I think, you know, we should maybe say a few stuff about maybe how it's gonna be, how we're gonna conduct that. So let's say that to all our listeners, that first they can so how they're gonna contact us if they want to, at least for a start. I don't really know how it's gonna work, but just I'm gonna give my email. The magical vibe 777@gmail.com. So magical, magical vibe, vibe 777@gmail.com, all in one word. And so then they can drop some questions and also request for things that they would like us to explore here in our conversations. So that's just to share that. And I think what's maybe important is to say that we are planning to do some, maybe a bit of coaching sessions along the podcast if people want to work on something, and we can have like a nice conversation, me asking a bit questions around that area. And maybe so if someone wants to hop in our call and do like a short session with me, and then we can edit so everyone, all the listeners can benefit that. Also, we're probably going to touch some, maybe we can do that as a group coaching call, like a conversation. So everyone that wants to hop on a call is invited. And also, I do believe that we're going to touch some subjects, like we can speak on subjects that, you know, we want to explore, like fears or anger or despair or synchronicity or trust or whatever comes up for ourselves. So it's hopefully it will be like a nice field to explore and to work on those stuff and give value to whoever, or the listeners, you know, wherever they were around the world. So again, our email is magicalvibe777@gmail.com. So Sapir, would you like to say a few words?
I'm just excited. I mean, I've always had an interest in this kind of work. So yeah, I'm looking forward to what's coming up, and I'm sure there'll be a few questions as well about what's come up today. So
thank you. So thank you everyone being with us, and hopefully we're going to release our next chapter soon. Thank you and bye-bye.